The Studio, written and narrated by Shirley Hyatt. From her book of short stories, 20 Tales with a Twist.
The specialist's face revealed the gravity of his kind words as he explained her eyesight was not going to get better, and soon she would be blind. It was a cruel outcome for someone as gifted as she, he said, and unfortunately there was no way to turn it around. He could not explain the reason for her problem and could offer no cure. Elaine told herself this terrible diagnosis wasn't the end of the world, but it certainly felt like it. She came home from the appointment, threw herself down on her bed, and gave in to the emotions that for months she hadn't allowed herself to feel. The prospect of living without light and color was unimaginable. Still, she tried to picture how it would be when that dark shade came down and she couldn't see out. Those on the outside would be denied even a glimpse into her creative soul. Elaine beat her fists against the bed as the tears continued to rise up and pour down her cheeks. As she laid there, her heart finally settled into a steady beat, yet her mind continued to race around in a frantic search to understand what exactly had happened to her. As a painter, she'd worked hard to perfect a formula that had mimicked the glaze used by the great masters and had succeeded in a field where most people had failed. Perhaps in all those tubes and jars whose labels listed a variety of chemicals, she'd put the wrong things together and triggered an unseen reaction that had weakened her eyesight. Had she been oblivious to something toxic that had gradually been absorbed into her eyes? If the doctor couldn't afford her any explanation, how would she ever know? And as he had explained, it was perhaps a condition unique to her makeup. Whatever the reason, there was no way to change the outcome. When the time came that she couldn't see even a shadow of the life around her, she wondered if she should cover her blank stare with dark glasses or simply close her eyes. Her eyes. From childhood, she'd been told they were her best feature, a compelling shade of green, lashes long and thick. She was the envy of girls who applied layers of mascara and green eyeshadow, their effects unable to match what was natural to her. She had felt secure within herself when she was a child, so why should she care what people thought now? Any change in her world would make no difference to friends and family. It was only the world she had once starred in, the art world, that would care what had happened to her. And yet, hadn't she hated the fawning, the superficiality of people who wanted to share in the light that her talent had shined on her? Getting up, she splashed her face with cold water and went into the kitchen to fix a cup of tea. As she drank it, she remembered how she'd stood at her easel, watching the brilliant hues melt together, slowly becoming an insipid gray. The landscape she was working on was almost finished, and she had backed away from it with her heart in her throat. It had felt like something outside her control had taken a large brush and smeared the trees, the wildflowers and the mountains all together. She'd taken the offending canvas off the easel, stood it with its face to the wall, and staggering to a chair, tried to figure out what in the world had just occurred. Now, as the truth walked beside her and pressed itself into her awareness, Elaine knew that she had no choice but to find a way to continue to live and live independently. While she still had some of her vision, she practiced doing all her daily tasks with her eyes closed, making her way around the house, receiving a lot of bruises in the process. But bumping into things had brought home the truth. She must forget about how it looked and arrange her furniture in a way that gave her ease of movement. In her mind, she pictured it would be rather like following a series of knots in a rope on her way up a mountain, or better, moving from one square to the next on a giant board game. And like it or not, she must eventually get used to walking with that damn stick. Soon it would become her eyes. Her extreme allergy to dogs had canceled the option of getting a specially trained animal. So she had pushed and pulled and put things into an order that would not have been appealing to her artistic nature if she had been able to run a critical eye over it, but the result was that she wouldn't accidentally trip over something and send herself flying headlong through a window. She arranged for her cleaning lady to come in weekly to dust and vacuum, grocery shop, and do the tasks that bedeviled her. She hated not being able to see to the details. As a painter, it was the details in her work that had propelled her up the ladder. To not be able to take that success to even greater heights would be a continuing heartache. She would never again see the changes of the seasons, the soft green leaves turning brittle, red, golden, and brown, the brilliance of the first snowfall, the pools of shimmering water after a rainstorm. Elaine recognized that she was going through the stages of grief. She hadn't expected to do it again after the loss of her husband, but that was exactly what it was. Just as she's done before, there would come a moment of acceptance. In the meantime, she worked to perfect her ability to move between the house and her studio, counting her steps, tapping her stick against the ground. She felt good about her lack of hesitation, especially because her family was coming for a visit. It had been akin to negotiating a world treaty for her son Alex to arrange his schedule. An expert in marine biology, his skills were more and more in demand. He traveled all over the globe, often with his wife and child in tow. Now, at last, he had called to confirm they were on their way. 2 precious days. That was all Alex could spare. She would savor every minute. Elaine prayed for the sands of time to please do her a favor and just slow down. These infrequent visits seemed to be over almost as soon as they'd begun. She decided that she would tell them straight out what had happened, and she wouldn't give in to any grief on their part. She would not allow them to feel the tiniest bit sorry for her. As Elaine sat in her favorite chair and waited for the doorbell to ring, it seemed impossible that her granddaughter was 9 years old. Paula, 9 years old? Where had the years gone? The last time she had seen her, the child had grabbed her hand and squeezed her fingers hard enough to cut off the circulation. But Paula couldn't possibly have known how important her hands were to her, how, in a sense, they were her lifeline. She didn't let herself dwell on the fact that those fingers still tingled, that at times she lost feeling in her thumbs, and sometimes her feet went to sleep, and she was afraid to walk for fear of falling down. Elaine cleared her mind and forced herself to relax. She put her head back and recalled how far she had come. The first time she had put her hands on a great lump of clay and thought, through the invisible creative force, she had known there was a form, a figure, something that could be labeled as art inside it. Whatever it was would be revealed when she took away what wasn't needed. From that moment of understanding, a new, exciting world had opened up. Her figures of animals had touched people in a way she could not have imagined. They said she had given each creature an impelling personality that leapt out at them, endearing the art form to adults and children alike. "You have magic in your fingers." Those words, said by a child, had touched her heart. It was true. She wouldn't have believed that her fingers could become her eyes, but somehow they had. They knew exactly how much to take away and how much to add, until the deer or the lion or the bird had come into being. Before long, she had received commissions and was busier and more absorbed in her work than she could have imagined. Several of her statues now lived in the local park, with a special plaque commemorating her work. Yes, after she'd gotten past her grief, her artistic life, for lack of a better word, had blossomed. Still, perhaps she had worked her hands too much, for it was harder and harder to bring them to life. As she sat there, rubbing her fingers together, the grandfather clock chimed the hour. Elaine clasped her cane, took in a deep breath, and got to her feet. It was time. Her pulse quickened as she heard the clack of shoes coming up the walk and then the ringing of the doorbell. Opening the door, she felt the arms around her, the kisses on her face, and the happy tears that mingled with hers. She was quickly bundled into a car and driven to the best restaurant in town. After a delicious meal, she congratulated herself for not having tipped over hers or anyone else's glass. The next day, Paula begged to be shown the studio, the place where the animals that had made her grandmother so famous had been created. Elaine had walked the path between the main house and the little house at the end of the garden so often she might easily have made her way there and back without any aid, but it was a great source of comfort to have Paula holding her arm. She had to smile at the enthusiasm of her granddaughter, who appeared to have inherited her love of all things artistic. Throughout the otherwise happy hours, Elaine had become aware of the increasing tingling in her hands and feet. She'd had difficulty showing the child how to handle the lumps of clay. Paula had declared she was determined to turn it into works of art, just like her grandmother. "I'm telling my parents that when I grow up, I want a studio just like this one, and next year, I want to spend the whole summer with you, Grandmother, so I can learn how to do exactly what you do." "Oh, my dear," Elaine thought, "I hope you don't have to go through what I went through." As Elaine feared, the time with her family went by in a flash. She listened to Paula chattering on as she received her family's parting words, returning their hugs. The little girl stood on tiptoe and whispered in Elaine's ear, "When I come back, I am going to close my eyes just like you do, so I can't see what I've done until it's all finished." "Yes," Elaine thought with a sudden pang, "at least you will be able to see it when you open your eyes." It was a certain sense of relief that she closed the door and made her way to her bed. It seemed the gods were determined to hold her down. First it was her eyesight, and now the numbness in her limbs that grew worse every day. She was dragging along on feet turned to lead. Before long, she knew she wouldn't feel anything. She'd spent the afternoon in physical therapy, her body being massaged by expert hands whose mission was to activate her nerve endings and revive feeling. Despite their encouragement, she knew it wasn't working, and that it never would. It was time to stop pretending. Elaine lay back against the pillows in her bed. With great effort, she reached out a hand to find the bottle of pills on her night table, tipping its contents into her mouth. She fumbled with the glass of water, spilling some as she put it against her lips, and swallowed. The end.